All stand and sing these Christmas songs that are on the back of your program.
I love thee, Lord Jesus, look. the children want it all. Dad just hopes that somehow he can get it down the hall. Soon they'll gather round it, as proud as they can be. But when they're looking at it, I wonder if they see the perfect tree grew very long ago. And it was not decked with silver,
swaddling four robes and a star for a crown. Gently a king is born, with shepherds for subjects and straw for a throne. Tonight a king is born.
My program fell on the floor. That's why I went out of turn. See, I do have an excuse, not a good one. I'd like to welcome you here tonight. The choir will be coming up here in just a few moments, but I want to take this time to thank you for coming. And it's been a great year for the choir, especially, and those who sing solos. I've been asked to let the soloists sing because in the years past we haven't had very many of them sing. So this year I let them sing at the beginning of the service. You know, it's an interesting thing this time of year. In our services in church, we're in John, and of course it's dealing with truth. And, you know, you hear that statement, the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ came because he is truth, right? You know, a funny thing happened to me here these last few days. It was told by me that several people at the Luminaire thought that we were, what do they call that, lip singing? You know, that's an interesting concept. I thought about that because years past, somebody had accused me of that. But this time, I think it was told to me that several people that came up and said they couldn't believe that that was the choir singing, that we were using canned music and canned voices. You know, another interesting thing is that we've been ministering to different assisted living care homes and also the memory care homes. Interesting name they came up with, that, memory care. Because it's an interesting thing, as we've been singing, you watch them, and they know the words to these songs. I often wondered if someone who had went into this, you know, deep, mindful situation, you know, where their thoughts were. But, you know, they have some things that they remember. And we got to see Tom's mom, and she was really singing away, wasn't she? He says that she used to sing these Christian songs to her when he was very young. Jesus Christ in John stood before everybody, and he said, I'm the truth, I'm the way. And they didn't believe. Give us a sign, tell us something else. It says in John that the Word came and became flesh and dwelt among us, and the world rejected him, didn't know him. And I just thought that was an interesting thing, that as we're singing there at the Illuminaire, that they don't believe that we're singing. And I mean, it's right there. I mean, if we'd have turned the music off, I mean, we practiced just before without the music. And so, but I want to tell you that we are real. But more than that, I'm not trying to explain that, but I just wanted to share that concept of what this time of year is about and how that we take the truth for granted. And so I hope that through the songs and the words that are sung tonight, that you will gain a little bit more understanding and knowledge of what Jesus Christ really came for. You know, it says, and there's a song that's been written to this effect, the Father gave the Son, and the Son gave the Spirit, and the Spirit gives us life, gives us the light, that we can share that same gift again. So that's what we as a choir and the soloist have been doing. We've been sharing that gift of truth, that gift of love.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and morning dawn. Fall on your knees, hear the angel voice. Christ was was born. Oh,
Christian, then rejoice.
Angels,
Shepherds, God, and angels. Glory. limited by time and space, for now this would be home, where he would feel a need and hurt, and sometimes be in danger.
All I have, all I am, My future, my past, my next breath and my last.
I give it all, I give it all to
sound and light guy. But anyhow, we are coming to a point in our service now where we're going to go into communion. So we're going to turn the service over now to our pastor, Pastor Gary Elliott. And then we'll close with one song.
Be appropriate for us to is this on? Is mic on? Am I on? All right, I just can't hear myself. Just thought it was appropriate tonight to end with us giving a gift to our Lord and Savior, and that is our lives. That's the one gift that He requires from us, to give of ourselves to Him. And I can't think of a better way to do that than communion, can you? He told us, I want you to remember me, and I want you to remember my love for you, my coming to the cross for you. I don't want you to forget this. And so one of the greatest ways that we celebrate His coming to earth is His sacrifice for us, and we're going to do that. As I'm asking the men to go ahead and pass out the bread and the cup, I am also asking you to think seriously about what we're doing, and about our remembrance, and about your dedication to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are a couple passages that I want to talk about as you were thinking and meditating about what the Lord has done for you. One is found in Psalms chapter 2. Scripture tells us that God had planned all along that He was going to send His Son. And in Psalms chapter 2 is very clear. My Son's going to come and He's going to reign. And all the nations, I've often read Isaiah chapter 40. What a great passage that is. He says in Isaiah chapter 40, all the nations are as nothing to me. They are less than nothing. It's an amazing statement. He tells us clearly that He's a great God. And in Psalms chapter 2, He tells us that the nations rage against Him, but He just sits in heaven and laughs. And He says, I'm going to send my anointed one. He's going to reign. He's going to reign in Jerusalem. He's going to reign in Zion. And he makes a statement. He says, and let all the kings worship Him. Do homage to Him. Be careful, He says, to do homage to Him, lest you be destroyed. So clearly throughout Scripture, the declaration was that the Messiah, the Holy One, God, was coming to earth, and He was going to set things straight. We've been reading in Isaiah in particular, and in Isaiah chapter 7, we read a particular passage that talks about a king, and of all the times in which God was going to ask, a king to ask anything he wanted, He asked Ahaz, and Ahaz couldn't have been a worse representative. And He turns to him and He says, ask whatever. Ask as high as the heavens or as deep as Sheol, but ask whatever you want. And Ahaz literally insults God. I would guess spits on Him. And God, in spite of that, says, in spite of this, I will be gracious and send a son. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, in response to Ahaz, He says, a virgin will be with child. And you call His name Emmanuel, God with us. And I'm going to send Him to you. So that promise was made at a time in which we were really rejecting the God of the universe. And yet he comes back with a gracious, gracious gift, the gift of his Son. Well, we read in John that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that God sent forth his Son. You know, in the Old Testament, they really weren't sure how that was going to pan out. God said he was going to set things straight, that his king was going to reign in Zion, but what was that going to look like? And he says in Psalms chapter 2, you better do obedience to the Son, or I'm going to destroy you. And I can just imagine all the ideas that people had in their heads about what the Messiah was going to look like and what he was going to do once he got here. But John chapter 3 tells us in verse 17 that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Whew. Boy, can you imagine? I mean, our representative was Ahaz, and he spits on God. And yet God did not send his Son in the world to condemn us, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the reason he sent his Son. What an amazing, amazing thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus ends in John 17 with a prayer before he goes to the cross. And in verse 23 in particular, what a great verse this is. He makes a statement that the Father sent the Son that you might know and that you might believe that God loves you as much as he loves the Son. Could you imagine? The whole reason that he sent his Son was so that you might know that he loves you just as much as he loves his Son. So we could not forget this time. And we could not forget the sacrifice that he made for us. Because it was on the cross that we were reminded of the whole reason why God sent his Son. That you might know just how much he loves you. And Isaiah 53 says, and it pleased God to crush his Son for you and for me. You know, if that doesn't tell you that he loves you, nothing will. So it's only appropriate that we remember his sacrifice for us as we come to this time of celebration of his coming to earth and the fact that he was sent by God for you and for me. And so with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you would just take this moment to give him thanks. Your thanks may be something as simple as this. Father, I am so glad that when you sent your Son, though I was deserving, you sent him not to condemn me, but to save me. I am so thankful for that. Father, thank you for your great sacrifice and how it was so clear, how it is so clear that you love me. Just take this time and give him thanks. This is more pleasing to the Father than anything else you could do. And it is only appropriate that you give him thanks at this time. Jesus had gathered his disciples together, knowing that he was going to the cross. And he makes this wonderful statement. He says, I've been looking forward to having this dinner with you. I That's how much he loves us. He was looking forward to dying on our behalf so that we might join in fellowship with him. Scripture said that this is his body that was broken for us. This too in remembrance of him. Scripture says, after the same manner, he took the cup. It was his blood that was shed for you and I. This too in remembrance of him. Oh, Father, we will never forget your love for us. We cannot forget. It is your love that brings us before your throne. It is your love that keeps us eternally in your arms. It was the love of your Son that made it all possible. We will not forget. We give you thanks for sending your Son so that we might know just how much you really do love us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lift up your heads, no need to mourn. His hand is stretched out still. For unto us a child is born, his promise to fulfill. Jerusalem, he cried for you. He did not come to you in vain. Come to set man free. Bethlehem, sunrise. Now I can see him in your eyes. For the child that was born His spirit never dies. A new and we will reign. Some old memory, for the child that was born there has come to set man free and Bethlehem's sunrise. Now I can see him. The child that was born there, he is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, and he will come lift up your heads. No need to mourn, he'll come again.
I'd like to thank you again for coming, and before we dismiss, why don't we go ahead and ask the Lord in prayer. Thank him for the food that is next door, if you didn't know about it. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come before you thanking you tonight, Lord, and giving you all glory and honor in this service and the fellowship that has been here and the singing and the words that have been spoken. We bind these before you, Lord, and ask that they would be upon our hearts and our minds throughout the rest of this night and the rest of the days to come as we celebrate your birth. Dear Father, we ask that you'd be with us now as we go in fellowship in the trailer, and we ask that you'd bless the food. Bless those hands that have been in the preparation of it, and bless it to our bodies. This we pray in your name. Amen. I'd say nourish, but I don't think it's going to nourish us very well.